A reading now from the Apostle Paul. As many of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ, there is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, there is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. This morning, coming off of that text, we're going to be talking about our identity in a sermon titled, Who Am I? And Paul reminds us in this reading that labels and titles, the labels and the titles that define us in this world, are only temporary. Ultimately, we will not be defined by our gender or our race or our class, by our political affiliations, or by the flags and the borders that separate us. Who am I? How do I understand myself and the place that I have in God's creation? Hold on to that thought. We'll come back to it. But first, I just want to acknowledge some of the great celebrating that is going on today here in our community. First of all, you see that we will be celebrating Holy Communion. Communion, our common union, our common meal, the place where we come together to dine on grace and forgiveness and to claim the promises of God. We rub shoulders with one another in a parade of sinners, working our way down this aisle towards a table that was set before our arrival, a table that welcomes the lame, the lost, and the hungry, a table set by baptismal waters that remind us of our identity. On this day, we are celebrating the reception at 8 o'clock this morning of our newest member, 22-year-old Zane Vanderwood. Zane became a part of the Trinity Lutheran Church family and the larger Christian church family this morning. His decision to be baptized was not without considerable thought and prayer and study. So it was at 8 o'clock that Zane waded into the waters of the Jordan and put his life in God's hands, declaring his intention to follow Jesus for the rest of his life. And so we celebrate his birth and baptism. From this day forward, Zane will forever be identified as a child of God and a follower of Jesus. And on this day, we are celebrating a weekend-long celebration with the Melver family, Carol and Ronald Melver, marking 50 years of married life. 50 years? Where did those years go? It was the summer of 1969. And if you think that the divisiveness and unrest that we are experiencing in our country now is unique, then you clearly did not live through or study the 60s. The summer of 1969, Vietnam, Richard Nixon, riots in the streets, on college campuses too. Our leaders had been assassinated, Woodstock, flower children. 50 years ago, on June 14th, 1969, at Messiah Lutheran Church in Auburn, Washington, Carol and Ron stood before an altar like this and took sacred vows. Those vows were for life. They had met each other in the choir at Pacific Lutheran University. Music, as you see today, has always been an important part of their life, their shared life, and their family life, and we have benefited from that. Now, popular songs are not always a good predictor of marital bliss, but I just want you to consider for a moment, topping the music charts in 1969, Elvis Presley singing Suspicious Minds, The Fifth Dimension's Wedding Bell Blues, Marvin Gaye's I Heard It Through the Grapevine, and Na 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 Hey Hey Kiss Him Goodbye. And you overcame all of it, and here you sit 50 years later. Yes, on this day we're celebrating. We're also celebrating with you, celebrating the place of fathers in our families, and in our homes, and in our society. For some, this is a happy day to share with their father. For some, it is a day to reflect on the gift of a father who is no longer with us. And for some, it is a day to grieve the father that was never there, a father we may have never known, a father who is less than loving. We should note that no one is named father. It is a title that comes as a result of a moment of passion, perhaps, but in reality, it is a title that is earned with years of faithful service. Father, mother, sister, brother, daughter, son, husband, wife, doctor, teacher, boat builder, plane builder. We carry a lot of titles in our lives. And in some way, each of these titles affect our understanding of who we are, of our own self. Each title says something about our life story, but very little about our actual identity. The titles of this world are mostly temporary. And if we find our identity in something that is fleeting, then ultimately we will have an identity crisis. If your entire life and identity are tied to your professional life, then what happens when the career is over? If your identity is defined by another person, then what happens when that one is gone? Who am I? Who am I when the titles of this world are all stripped away from me? Now, in God's equation, there is no longer Jew or Greek. There's no longer slave or free, male or free, female. No identity is found elsewhere. Who am I? From the dawn of creation, humans have looked to the heavens, hoping to find an answer to that question. Who am I? What am I doing here? And is there really a God? Is there meaning and purpose and outside of the existence of this time and space? Now, last week, I spent about an hour in this sanctuary alone. I was walking and praying. It was Tuesday, but I knew Sunday was coming. And that meant that you'd be coming here this morning to hear God's word. The problem is, I've been doing this with you for 30 years, and on Tuesday, I was not sure that I had anything left to say. So I walked in this space, and I thought, and I prayed here, and I looked up to the heavens, and I said, "What is it that you want me to tell them this week?" And there was no response. And I waited patiently for 5 minutes, because I'm known for my patience. And then I said, "This is not a rhetorical question, Lord. I'm being serious here. You got me into this. What is it that you want me to tell them?" And I walked and I prayed and it was silent. And then about a half an hour later, in the silence of my heart, something said to me, "Tell them that they are not alone." That is what they long to hear. Is that something you long to hear this morning? Is that something that you want to believe in your heart, that you are not alone? You are not alone as you face Parkinson's. You are not alone as your children go off to college. You're not alone as you manage your depression. You're not alone as you face the burden of debt or the reality of loneliness. You are not alone in life, and you will not be alone in death. Tell them. Tell them that. Tell them that they are not alone. That is what they long to hear. Those are words of promise and hope, words that can only be believed when we come to some understanding of our own identity. Yes, most of the titles that we have in this world have nothing to do with our identity. Husband, wife, teacher, student, they are all as temporary as Jew or Greek, male or female. But there are other titles. Other titles that are out of this world, they are transcendent and they are eternal. They are not of our making or of our achievement. They are not up for debate or dependent upon correct scientific method or correct understanding of theology. Who am I? I spent some time years ago with a rabbi in Jerusalem. And at one point he said to me, "Jim, the question of humans has always been, who am I? But that is not the question. The real question is, who am I standing before? Who is God?" And understanding that will help us to understand ourselves. Who is God? Well, God is God. And the attributes of God predate our existence. God is God, and the mysterious movement of God is beyond our grasp, and it's certainly beyond our control. Eternal, immortal, a small portion of God has been revealed to us in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We remember that today on Holy Trinity Sunday. But really what we are doing and what people are doing in that is grasping for straws, hoping to understand something that's totally beyond our grasp. A small portion of God has been revealed, but even that small portion is more than we will ever, ever comprehend. One God, but three? God, the one who created all that exists, but then God in Jesus, the Savior of the world, who taught us how to live and love, and then died that we might live in love? And God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, our guide, our comfort, our advocate, the small voice that says, tell them that they are not alone? One God, three persons, Holy Trinity? None of us get this. God is God, and we are not. We are not God. We are children. That is our title. That is our identity. Children, precious, fragile, needy, and afraid. We may think from time to time of ourselves as being adults, but guess what? At our core, we are children. But not just any children. We are the children of God. And what do children need to know? Most importantly, they need to know that they are loved. And God is love. Hear that now very clearly. God is love, patient and kind. God is not shaming. God is not vindictive. God is not vengeful. Sometimes we have a tendency to need to create God in our own image, in the form of a human. And so sometimes we say that as a father, but that image is too limiting, and it's not always helpful. God is love. God is patient and kind, arms always open to welcome home prodigal children. God is love, and God loves you. And nothing can change that, and nothing can separate you from that love. What do children like us need to know? They need to know that they are loved, and they need to know that they're not alone. Children cry out in the middle of the night. It's dark. They are afraid. They had a bad dream. They wake up and they call out because they cannot face the darkness alone. And so a father or a mother comes into the bedroom and sits on the side of the bed and pats them on the back or holds their hands or crawls into bed with them and says, it's okay. I'm here with you. You are not alone. And soon the cries disappear and the slumber returns, because the child knows that they can face the darkness because there is someone there with them. And at the end of life, at the end of our life, our world becomes very small. A hospital bed in a living room, the dying one wants one thing: to be held, to be comforted. Hold my hand, speak my name, stroke my forehead, tell me that you are here with me. Tell them that they're not alone. That's what they need to hear. Children need to know that they are loved always. Children need to know that they are not alone ever. And that's what we are, children. Children of God. That's our identity. That is also our security. Knowing that we are God's children, then we can face the struggles of this day. The daunting darkness of uncertainty, the fears that keep us up in the middle of the night, we can face it. We can face it all, and we can face it together as God's children. We are not alone. So I'd like to end this morning by reading you a story. It's a children's story for children like us. A story of a little one who was born uncertain of his identity. It seemed that he was all alone in the world, but in his heart, he knew that his mother had to be out there somewhere, and he was not going to rest secure until he found her. Yes, I'm very aware that it's Father's Day, but even so, I'd like to read you P.D. Eastman's classic children's story, Are You My Mother? A mother bird sat on her egg. The egg jumped. "Uh-oh," said the mother bird, "my baby will be here. He will want to eat. I must get something for my baby bird to eat," she said. "I will be back." So away she went. The egg jumped. It jumped and jumped and jumped, and out came the baby bird. "Where is my mother?" he said, and he looked for her. He looked up. He did not see her. He looked down. He did not see her. "I will go and look for her," he said. So away he went. Down out of the tree he went. Down, down, down. It was a long way down. The baby bird could not fly. He could not fly, but he could walk. "Now I will go and find my mother," he said. But he did not know what his mother looked like. He went right by her. He did not see her. He came to a kitten. "Are you my mother?" he said to the kitten. The kitten just looked and looked. It did not say a thing. The kitten was not his mother, so he went on. Then he came to a hen. "Are you my mother?" he said to the hen. "No," said the hen. The kitten was not his mother. The hen was not his mother. So the baby bird went on. "I have to find my mother. But where? Where is she? Where could she be?" Then he came to a dog. "Are you my mother?" he said to the dog. "I am not your mother. I am a dog," said the dog. The kitten was not his mother. The hen was not his mother. The dog was not his mother. So the baby bird went on and he came to a cow. "Are you my mother?" he said to the cow. "How could I be your mother?" said the cow. "I am a cow." The kitten and the hen were not his mother. The dog and the cow were not his mother. Did he have a mother? "I did have a mother," said the baby bird. "I know I did. I know I did. I have to find her. I will. I will." Now the baby bird did not walk. Now he ran. Then he saw a car. Could that old thing be his mother? No, no, it could not. The baby bird did not stop. He ran on and on. Now he looked way, way down. He saw a boat. "There she is," said the baby bird. He called out to the boat, but the boat did not stop. The boat went on. He looked up, way up. He saw a big plane. "Here I am, mother," he called out to the plane. But the plane did not stop. The plane went on. Just then, the baby bird saw a big thing. "This must be his mother." "There she is," he said. "There is my mother." He ran right up to it, saying, "Mother, mother, here I am," he said to the big thing. But the big thing just said, "Snort." "Oh, you are not my mother," said the baby bird. "You are a snort. I have to get out of here." But the baby bird could not get away. The snort went up. It went way, way up. And up, up, up went the baby bird. But now, where was the snort going? "Oh, oh, oh, what is this snort going to do to me? Get me out of here." Just then, the snort came to a stop. "Where am I?" said the baby bird. "I want to go home. I want my mother." Then something happened. The snort put that baby bird right back into the tree. The baby bird was home. Just then, the mother bird came back to the tree, saying, "Do you know who I am?" she said to the baby. "Yes, I know who you are," said the baby bird. "You are not a kitten. You are not a hen. You are not a dog. You are not a cow. You are not a boat or a plane or a snort. You are a bird, and you are my mother." Who am I? Know who you are. You are a child of God. And who is my God? God is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, our beginning and our end. God is mother in the very best sense of the way, and God is Father in the very best sense of the word. It may seem sometimes like God is absent or silent or uncaring, but nothing could be further from the truth. The nest always welcomes us home, and God will not rest until we are safe in that nest for eternity. Who am I? I'm a flower quickly fading, here today, gone tomorrow, a wave tossed in the ocean. But God knows my heart, and God knows my pain, and God knows my name. Tell them that they're not alone.